In the first part of chapter 52, we are reminded again that God loves His people, that God will never forsake His people, and that God is in control. Notice beginning in verse 1, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward." So, thy God reigneth is the title of our message. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your empowerment tonight, for your wisdom, for your presence as we go to your word, that you would use it in our lives and teach us and grow us, and that you would be glorified in this time. So, Lord, we come with expectant hearts. We want to hear from you tonight, and we trust that we will, and ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, another reminder that God is never finished with his precious ones, the Israelites. And as he mentioned there in verse 3, he said, "Ye shall be redeemed without money." He is prophesying there of the redemption that would come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll see a God's explanation of this. But this word redeem means to buy back. And that is what God has done through Jesus. He has bought us back from the devil and from sin. He has redeemed us. It's like when you would take something to a pawn shop, for example, and before it gets sold off, you go in and you redeem it. You go in and get it back. That's what God has done. He has redeemed us. He has bought us back with the blood of Jesus. Notice 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we have been redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the most valuable thing in the universe for our redemption, the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. So God is prophesying that there's going to come a day when the Israelites will be redeemed. And we actually talked about that in Sunday school this morning, this revival that's going to take place when Israel comes back to God and then goes on into the kingdom and gets their kingdom. But in the short term, if you go back to our passage, unfortunately, they are blaspheming the Lord through their behavior. How sad is that? Notice verse 5. "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed." How sad. Paul even said in Romans 2, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you," talking to Israel. It's very sad, but true. For 2,500 years, they have rejected their Messiah. They rejected the truth of God's word and instead gone their own way. And God's word is blasphemed through their behavior and their rejection of the Lord. But that, again, will all be turned around when they, as it says here, if you go back to our passage on verse 7, he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." I love how God led the Apostle Paul to take passages like this that are intended for Israel, which they are, and then he brings them into the New Testament and shows how there's a secondary fulfillment in us. And most of us know Romans 10:15, which says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. That's us preaching the gospel. And so what he's saying is, it's going to come a day, and I think he's prophesying primarily of the 144,000 during the tribulation, they're going to be bringing the gospel of peace. And Israel is going to accept Christ. Not wholeheartedly, but many of them will accept the fact that God reigns. And this is huge. Because this is what it all stems from, if you think about it. You've got to start to be saved. Where does it all have to start? You have to believe that you need to be saved. You can't be saved if you don't believe you need to be saved. Well, why would you need to be saved? Well, you don't need to be saved unless you're a sinner. Right? Well, what defines being a sinner? Well, that must mean that there's some higher authority that defines right and wrong beyond our conscience. And that, of course, must mean, therefore, that we have a creator, and that our Creator has set some rules. It turns out He has, and He's holy, and He's righteous. And His rule is that we can't get into heaven unless we're holy and righteous. So you can see how it all starts from, or works its way down to the fact that God reigns. And when we witness to people, what do we say? You're a sinner, deserve to go to hell, Jesus Christ paid your sin, but then we have to talk about, well, who is Jesus Christ? He's God in the flesh. That's why He had the power to die and rise again and conquer death on our behalf and offer us eternal life. God is sovereign. God reigns. There is a Creator. He loves us, but He's holy. He's perfect, and we can't enter His presence without salvation. So, Thy God reigneth. There's going to come a day when Israel will understand that Jesus Christ is God. They rejected Him the first time. And they'll be willing to say, Thy God reigneth. And when they see the prints of the nails, they'll understand. Now go to Psalm 97, where David enjoyed repeating this great statement about God's sovereignty over the world. And you know, it really should be an encouragement to us, because we are His children. And He loves us, and He's always going to do what's best for us. And so if we can truly believe in our hearts that God does reign, that God is in control, that God is sovereign over everything, that God cares about every little detail, then what do we have to fear? Think about it. That's why David could say, I will not fear what man can do unto me, because God reigns. Notice Psalm 97, verse 1, where he says, The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. And he goes on to talk about the possibility we might have trials. And we might, and we probably will. But you know what? The Lord reigns. The Lord is in control. So if a trial does come into our lives, we can say, it's His will. God reigns. God knows what He's doing. God knows why He's doing it. I may not know, but He knows. We can trust in that. The Lord reigns. Two Psalms over. Psalm 99, he says it again, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. You know, the world should be trembling. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. The world should be afraid of the fact that there is a God and that He will judge man someday. The world should be afraid of that. But sadly, they're not, because their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. I've heard people say, oh, the only reason Christians get saved is to escape hell. I just say, amen. Yeah, that's why we got saved. We didn't want to go to hell. You know, I mean, was there supposed to be another motive? Because we love Jesus so much? Yeah, we do after we're saved, but that's not why we got saved. We got saved because we realized we were going to hell. I mean, doesn't saved mean getting rescued? And we got saved because we need to be rescued from our condition and from our punishment. Because God reigns. And sadly, the earth doesn't tremble. But unfortunately, some of them will when it's too late at the judgment seat. So anyway, a little bit of a distraction there. But God is encouraging His people. They're going to be redeemed without money. They're going to one day say, "Thy God reigneth." You know, Jesus said, "You shall not see me henceforth until you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." In Matthew chapter 23, when he pronounced his final condemnation upon Israel, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often will I gather thee together as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not." He said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And you shall not see me henceforth until you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He's talking to Israel. And there will come a day when they will. And he'll say, "I got these nail prints in the house of my friends." And Israel will know. So on our passage, verse 8, so he will redeem them. They will recognize and accept Jesus. And then in verse 8, "Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem." This is prophetic. Jerusalem has not been redeemed yet. Let's face it, Israel is not singing and in joy over their salvation in Jesus Christ, but they will. They will. When we study through the prophecy of the Old Testament, I would say over 100 scriptures we probably looked at that talked about Israel being regathered, being rejoined to the Lord, having their kingdom, having the joy of the Lord. The Bible says one day the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea in Zechariah 14, verse 9. So that day is coming that they're going to have joy. They're going to acknowledge Jesus Christ. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then look at verse 10. "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Don't you wish it was that way now? Look at Habakkuk, if you would, chapter 2. This again is a prophetic statement. We can look around and say, well, this surely hasn't happened yet, that the entire earth has seen God's salvation. But there will come a day when they will. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, there it is. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And you know what? We get to be here for this. When there will be a day that everybody on earth will know about God's glory and God's salvation. Now, that doesn't mean everybody will get saved. But everybody will know about the salvation and the glory of God. And this, of course, is a prophecy of the kingdom. And so he's promising his children. And remember, during the church age, which was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets, we are already enjoying these benefits. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We know who our God is, and we acknowledge that He reigns. We've already seen His salvation. And notice on down in verse 11, he says, depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go out in the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. He's just inserting a little reminder to the priests that they are not worshiping God the way they should. But it's also a good little reminder to us that we're to be separate from the world. Right, 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." But the promises continue there in verse 12. "You shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your re-reward." That's a word we don't use anymore, but it means the rear guard. So you always have the one that leads and the guys who bring up the rear when you're going off to war or whatever. God is saying, Israel, someday it's going to be like it was when I led you through the desert. Remember when he led them through the desert? They followed the cloud and the pillar of fire. But remember what happened when the Egyptians came and found them trapped against the Red Sea? It moved to the back of them. And God became their reward and protected them from Pharaoh and his chariots until they could cross the Red Sea. God says one day it'll be like that again. God will be Israel's leader and their rear guard. Let's just be reminded of this great thing that happened in Exodus 14 where God accomplished this for his children. And he's referring back to this again, saying it will be like the way it was then. Exodus 14. And then I want us to be reminded that it's that way now for us. Hallelujah. Exodus 14, look at verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So twice there it says it went behind them. God was their re-rewarder, their rear guard. He's saying that during the kingdom age, it'll be that way again. There will also be some protection of tribulation as well, as we read in Revelation 12. But he will be their leader and their rear guard. You know, it's exciting. We as God's children in the church age, we've been redeemed. We acknowledge our God as the one that reigns and the one that's sovereign. We already have the joy of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. We've already experienced his salvation, and God goes before us and behind us. Isn't that great? That not only is he showing us the way, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path, and guides us, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. But he's also the one that protects us from behind. He says in Isaiah 54:17, which we'll look at in a couple of weeks, he says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And God protects his children. He's promised to do so. He's promised to put his loving hands around us, protect us. Jesus says we are safe in his hands. We're safe in the Father's hands. And if that be the case, nobody, not even the devil, can get to us unless it's God's will to take us to glory. So, what another beautiful reminder of the great promises that God has in store for his children, the Israelites. But also a great reminder of how good God is to you and me as his children. That we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we know who our God is, and we know he's sovereign and in control of our lives. That all things work together for good. That we have the joy of the Lord. That we have the salvation of Jesus Christ. And that God will lead us, direct us. He says, you know, make thy way straight before my face. And he promised to do so there in Psalm 5:8. And that he's our rear reward. That's one of those hard words to say. But God's our rear reward. Our rear guard. And we'll never know. Just talking to a lady this morning. Had a car accident this week. Rolled it. Totaled it. I mean, it was a write-off. She doesn't even have a scratch. Is that a coincidence? No. God was being her rear guard. Amen? And God will be ours as well. So we are blessed to be the children of God. And Israel one day, again, will be the blessed people of God. Praise the Lord. Thy God reigneth. Let's pray.